us as a big smile.
Hey, cake. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's for me. My birthday's February 10th. Sure, if you want some. Okay, tape students, pick up file 26 in the college library. This is your test on the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a timed test, and it takes 20 minutes. So, let's see, that clock says 7:05, so we'll stop at 7:25.
Is that an extra?
Thank you. Thank you.
Is everybody done? Okay, trade your paper with a neighbor. We will correct file 26. Make sure the originator's name is on the paper, and then write your name in as corrector. Should I just get a fork and pass the cake down the rows? Okay. Here are the correct answers to file 26. Number one, C like cow. Pardon me. Number two, E like elephant. Excuse me. Three, B like boy. Four, A like apple. And question five, D like dog. Now I need to ask a question. How many of you had a problem with question five and chose A because of the ambiguity in the question? It's still in the section on the book of Jeremiah that deals with the captivity, but it's talking about restoration from the captivity instead of judgment during the captivity. And so you chose A. Scott, who has Scott's paper? Is that the reason you chose A?
Yeah, because it wasn't in the context of talking about that one.
Okay, I'll accept A in that way if you interpreted it that way.
Yeah, I'm thinking Jeremiah, and right now in the middle of the Jeremiah class, it's all about the Babylonian captivity, so I transpose what I know from the text of Jeremiah onto question number five.
So you chose A?
Yes.
Okay, I can see how you would choose A, because there's a big section on the Babylonian captivity, and it talks about judgment on Judah for your sins, and so you go into captivity. And then it talks about restoration of Judah after the captivity is over. So D really is the right answer. It's in the section on restoration, but it's restoration from the captivity because the overall section is Babylonian prophecy. So I'm going to have to take A. Maybe I should just say letter A and letter D are both right answers for everybody. Let's just do that. Okay, page 2. Question 1. A, check. B, check. C, check. D, blank. E, blank. F, check. Okay, question 2. The point values are wrong. It says, all right, 8 points. 1 wrong minus 1, 2 to 3 minus 3, 4 minus 5, 5 minus 7. It should say 6 or more wrong minus 8. Okay, question 2. Correct answers are A blank, B blank, and the rest are checked. Okay, page 3. Question 3. Only C like cow is blank. The rest are checked. C like cow is blank. The rest are checked. Question 4. A blank. B blank. C check. D blank. E check. F check. G blank. H check. I blank. J blank. Page 4. Question 5, they're all checked. Question 6, A check, B check, C blank, D check, E blank, F blank. Okay, page 5, number 7, A check, B blank, C blank, D check, E check, F blank, G blank, H check, I check, J check, K check, L blank, M check. Okay, that's the end of the test. Subtract from 100 and put the plus score at the top of the paper. Is that David's paper?
Thank you.
Jeremiah.
Everybody want to go over and touch David? He got 100. I remember when I watched the Olympics on TV, they had this little Canadian girl run with a torch, you know, Karen Percy, she's 12 years old. They just picked her because she's a figure skater, and they figure she'll be in the Olympics in about 8 years. And they showed her class, and they interviewed all these other little 12-year-olds that were in her class, and one of them said, "What did you think?" And they were all laughing and giggling, and one of them said, "I touched her." I thought it was so funny. Okay. Probably touched her a million times up till then, but now she was famous, so they got to touch her. Okay, now today we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon. I need to find out where I left off in my lecture on Armageddon. Maybe we didn't even start, I don't remember. I also want to pass around a couple of papers that I brought with me. One of them has photographs of this area in Palestine, the area of Armageddon. So I'll go ahead and pass these around. This one here is kind of a good picture because it shows the great big flat plain. It says Armageddon, Valley of Jezreel, bordering Megiddo. And you see that there's a city of Megiddo. And there's a little sign here that talks about the ancient battles fought there. This one here has a picture of the ancient city of Megiddo that has been excavated today. And then inside it's got some color pictures of this huge valley. Let's see, I think I have two copies of this article. So I'll pass these around and you can look at these. There's also one map included right here. So
somebody tell me where I left off. I don't remember.
What was I talking about when we finished last week? Okay, and we were just reading the chapters, is that right? Did I read Revelation 19 yet, or did we finish with Revelation 16? You know what, I forgot my Bible. I left it in my office. Can I use yours? Okay, thanks. Anybody have two Bibles? Okay, I think Dan's going to get one. So did I read Revelation 19? We must have finished chapter 16, huh?
You're on 16, verse 12.
Oh, okay, well then we didn't finish reading chapter 16. I said the key chapters are Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then Revelation 16 and 19. Now we want to read those two chapters. So Revelation 16, 12 to 21. So let's read that tonight. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Kings of the East probably refers to China, Japan, and or Korea. In other words, it means the Far East. Maybe we should look over here on this map. This is the world map. And little Israel is barely even visible on the map. It's just a little dot here. And so from where we live, this is the Middle East. It already is east. Here's Europe. It's east of that. But in the Bible lands, when they say east, they mean east from where they are, which is over here in Asia, which would be China and Japan and Korea. So undoubtedly, those are the modern nations referred to here as kings of the east. Revelation 16, 12 to 21. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils or demons, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, I think you can understand the symbolism here, can't you? It says, three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And so in a vision, he saw this. And so he literally saw a frog come up through their throat, you know, came out of their mouth. This frog came out, and he saw the Antichrist. And this frog came out from him, and a frog comes out of their mouth. Now, he says, these frogs represent demons. He said, these are the spirits of demons working miracles. So there's miracle power in their word, is the idea. The Antichrist will speak demonically. Pardon me. The Antichrist will speak demonically. When he talks, demons are coming out of his mouth, is the idea. He's speaking demonically. So as he's speaking, it's really demons coming out. And the demons gather the people to the great battle of God Almighty. So what it's saying is the Antichrist will work to gather the people, but it'll be a demon in him doing it through what he says and probably through the miracles that he's working. Behold, I come as a thief. Now this verse is stuck in here as a warning from the Lord. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured his vial into the air. So the sixth angel is pouring out his vial in verse 12. And now the seventh angel is pouring out his vial. Vial means a bowl or a censer. It means a round bowl like a cereal bowl. And so he's pouring it out on the altar of incense. It's filled with incense, and when he pours it out, it makes smoke. And so we are in the seventh seal of the book of Revelation. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the seventh seal has seven parts to it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so within the seventh seal here, we are in the sixth vial and the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet and the sixth vial, and then the seventh trumpet and the seventh vial. Armageddon occurs right in here. Let's see, how do I do this? It occurs right in here. Specifically, the sixth trumpet and the sixth vial. And then the seventh trumpet and the seventh vial refers to the second coming. But that is part of the battle of Armageddon in the sense that it stops it. So we'll read on. So it says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came out a voice, a great voice out of the temple. From temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So this is the sixth and the seventh vial. It refers to the time of the Battle of Armageddon. The Euphrates River is dried up, so the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The demonic working comes through the Antichrist and false prophet to draw the people into Armageddon. And then the Lord warns them, and he says they were gathered into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And then you have the second coming with a great earthquake and great hail, two things we read about in the book of Ezekiel. Okay, now we go over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. This is the other main place in the Bible. He says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Boy, if there's anybody you'd never want to make war against, it's Christ. Because it says his name is called Faithful and True. He's sitting on a white horse. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. And if you ever would look at him, he said his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, our eyes are not like that. You know, when we look at each other, we don't have burning, fiery eyes to destroy each other with great power. But that's what Christ has. And then he says, "And on his head were many crowns." So he saw this in a vision. Crown upon crown upon crown upon crown upon crown upon crown. He is a ruler. He really is. He's ruler over all the rulers that there's ever been. Nobody ever was a ruler like Jesus is a ruler. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And what it's doing is showing his high exalted position, high above anyone else there ever has been. And so to decide to make war against this kind of a king is so foolish, so totally wrong. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Now it means the people were clothed in fine linen, white and clean, not the horses. And notice they are on white horses in verse 14, just like Christ was in verse 11. "Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Verse 14, the armies are upon white horses. These are the Christians. They're the people of God or the saints. These are not angels. Verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now on his vesture, it probably means on his chest, and then also on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is a very poor analogy, but, you know, today athletes do this, and they have, you know, Adidas, or they have Kestley skis or something, and they write names all over themselves. Well, Christ, he is doing that in the Bible. But of course, what he's advertising is not some product. He's advertising who he really is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm sure when men see that, and it actually says right on him, King of Kings, you better not fight him. That thing is real. He really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now, remember how that was what we read in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, that the Lord would, you know, gather in all the animals and the birds to eat the much dead flesh. Okay, well, that's as far as we can go right now. We'll stop and we'll take a 5-minute break. Mm-hmm.